This is episode number 20 of the Physical Therapy Business School podcast, and in this episode, I share with you my 10 absolute truths of PT business success. Listen up, take notes, and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Physical Therapy Business School podcast. My name is Paul Goff, former professional soccer physical therapist turned successful business owner and author from the UK. Each week, we answer your questions and bring you an inspiring story or person from the global physical therapy community. This show is dedicated to helping great physical therapists become hugely successful business owners. Thanks for joining me today. Now let the class begin. All right, so let's get going with episode number 20 of the Physical Therapy Business School podcast. It is it's great to be here again. Where am I right now? It's early Monday morning in the UK. It's a public holiday today. It's a public holiday in the UK. We always have what's called the August bank holiday, where most people are off to do whatever they want to do for a long weekend. My physio business is shut, but I'm in the office today. I got a lot to do, and I tend to use the public holidays to go to work, and then I give myself a day off when everybody else is back at work further down the line. It's one of the benefits of having your own businesses. You can go to work when everybody's off, and you can go on vacation or take some days off when everybody else is at work, and enjoy the finer things in your town or in your country without having to queue up and be stuck in traffic and all of the usual things that happen on the public bank holidays and weekends. So it's good to be here, and I'm going to talk to you today about what I call my 10 absolute truths of PT business success. Just stuff that I absolutely, venomously, 100% will never, ever back down on, that I believe that you must understand, must be going on in your business, is going on in your business, is happening to you, for you, whatever you want to call it, that if you try to deny any of them, it will make success in your business a hell of a lot more difficult. So, looking forward to getting into this. First, make sure you head over to my website. If you're not on my email list, you need to be there. paulgoff.com, head over to the website. That's where it's at. Most of the stuff that I put out, whether it's my video show, my podcast, just generally what I'm doing, what I'm up to, and ways that I can help you and really help you to immerse yourself in the material that I put out, head over to the website and make sure you jump onto my email. And like I always say, when you've got the first email from me, just hit reply and tell me who you are and that you're a podcast listener. I promise you I will see it. We'll have some fun, we'll interact. So please do that for me. Immersion is a wonderful thing. Don't just dip in and out of podcasts. If you really do love what I put out and you know believe in my material, immerse yourself in it. Don't just dabble across podcast from podcast or think that 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there is going to help you, because it really isn't. Immerse yourself in everything that we put out, from videos to podcasts to blogs to the quotes to the motivational stuff, and really get yourself ingrained. Because here's what a lot of people will say to me. Often I'll put something out, and this could be a client. I could teach them something, and they'll say, "Paul, why didn't you say it like that when you first explained it to me?" I'll say, "I did. You just weren't ready to hear it 3 months ago." And what I mean by that is, really, everything that I put out, the first time that you hear it, it doesn't always make a lot of sense to you. And then you go back and you hear it again, and you hear something else, and you hear something else, and you hear something else, and eventually things start to click into place. It's the same for you, it's the same for me, it's the same for your patients. When you truly understand that, it's a phenomenal day that when you get immersed in the business material, that is going to take you to the level that you want to get to. So head over to the website, join the email list, follow the video shows, listen to the podcast, check out the blog, just follow everything, the mindset, the business material, the strategies, the tools, the skills, everything you're going to need, the whole lot if you want to be successful in business. And just want to say thank you to the sponsors of the show, Infusionsoft. Infusionsoft is the CRM. It is the best piece of software that I've ever had the fortune to be able to use. Completely transformed my businesses, allowed me the freedom that I've got today, and does a huge amount of work that would probably take 3 or 4 employees to do. It's the cheapest, most best, reliable employee that I've got in my business. It's not a expense. It's not something that I ever begrudge paying. I couldn't simply live without it. So Infusionsoft, I want to say thank you to the guys for sponsoring the show and recognizing now that we have a huge community of people who want to grow very successful businesses using automation and systems. And if you want to take the training, just head over to paulgough.com/infusionsoft, paulgough.com/infusionsoft, and you can find out how I run my business using Infusionsoft. So let's get going. My 10 absolute truths of PT business success. The things that you absolutely have to accept, believe in, buy into, understand, stuff that's happening to you, probably for you if you wanted to. And in all honesty, stuff that probably will fly in the face of what 94% of people in business think is happening today. I keep telling you there is 94% of businesses go bust within a ridiculously short period of time, 5 or 10 years, and 6% survive and prosper. There is a reason. It's because we think completely differently to the other 94%. We have different beliefs about business. We use different tools, things like Infusionsoft. We have completely different strategies. We train our staff differently. We market differently. We see business differently. We see customers differently. We see the reason for being in business completely differently. And these are the things that I've learned over the last obviously 10 years of running my own business, and more now actually, a lot longer, and from now working with business owners all over the world. So what I'm about to teach to you today is not just my own opinion. It is, you know, that comes from just crappy, you know, me being arrogant and saying, hey, this is what business success is. It comes from 10, 12 years now of building businesses, three businesses that I run, plus a property company, so actually 4, as well as working with business owners in probably 15 different countries, hundreds and hundreds of people, and having helped business owners all over the world to generate in excess of, you know, millions and millions of dollars in their business. So I'm not about to give you some BS that I've just made up. This is what I see is making the difference to business owners, that if you accept it, the absolute truths, you will be way more successful in your own business. So are you ready? Here we go. Number one, marketing is about helping people make decisions, something that you do for people. Marketing is about helping people to make decisions and is something that you do for people, not to people. Now, unfortunately, there still exists a great many PTs, people who are burying their head in the sand, the dinosaurs, if you like, who still think that marketing does not work in healthcare. Now, the reality of that is it's an absolute load of trash and tosh, and is actually quite disrespectful and rude and arrogant to think that just because you are a PT or that you run a PT business, that you are somehow any more special than any other business on earth. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but human beings are human beings. How we buy anything is how we buy everything. And it does not change. I do not have a different chemical that runs through my body. I do not all of a sudden miraculously grow another part of my brain when I'm starting to think about making a decision on healthcare. We just don't do it. The human brain is not that sophisticated. It's a very predictably irrational machine that makes decisions and does not factor in how they make a decision is any different anywhere they go. Sure, the nuances change and it might be a little slower. There's a little bit more on the line, etc. But ultimately, how people make decisions on anything is how they make decisions on everything. So marketing, most people obsess over marketing to get more patients, which is fine, and at the, you know, the core, that's what it's about. But really, what's more important for you to understand and truly take with you, and this is what I'm trying to do for you today, some of these things you may have heard, but when you really understand the importance and the higher level thinking that goes on behind these statements is where the success that you're looking for will be found. So it's about helping people make decisions. But why is that important? Quite simply, we don't know how to make decisions. It's just a fact. We are not designed to make the decisions that the 21st century has put upon us. As society has evolved very, very quickly over the last few decades, this human shell, the brain, the thing that you wander around in all day, and the, you know, the thoughts and the mind that you have, has not changed in any way, shape, or form for thousands of years, and isn't likely to do so in the next few weeks just because you run a business. So people are not very good at making decisions. We didn't have to make many of them, however many thousands of years ago. It was just literally eat and survive. And that's all we were designed to do, and just ensure the continuation of society and the human race. And if we ate and we reproduced and we slept, ultimately we would go on as a society. And that's all that the brain was designed to do. Keep you safe. Make sure that you eat and you find water and sleep and do the whole thing again tomorrow. That's just a fact. That's kind of where this body comes from. And almost all of the problems, if you like, that people are living with today comes from not recognizing that fact that we have a very simple, unbelievably complex computer in our head that can do pretty much anything that you want, but isn't going to do it unless you rewire it to do so. And the reality is that 90% of people will not rewire it. Therefore, they are unable to make decisions. So in our case, healthcare, and the argument that I always put out wherever I speak, I say this relentlessly, the reason that a lot of chronic pain actually exists is quite simply that a person couldn't make a decision. That back pain started, they didn't make a decision, the doctor told them to do something and they didn't. They were fearful, they were frightened, they were nervous. They were skeptical. They kind of half tried it because they didn't really buy into it. The communication from the doctor or the therapist wasn't overly powerful, or wasn't confident enough to make that patient think, yeah, this guy is absolutely right and I will do this and it's for the good of my own health. All of the things that, again, we take for granted, that just because we've told somebody to do something that they're actually going to do it. There are so many reasons that people won't. So marketing is about helping people make decisions, and it's something you do for people. Why is that important? That something you do for people, you must factor that in, because again, the BS, if you like, of the arrogant healthcare providers is that marketing is salesy, it's bad, it's evil, it shouldn't be done in healthcare, and people should just come to their own conclusion. And again, I kind of kick back very quickly at those people. They're arrogant, and I have no problem standing face to face telling them that they're arrogant and ignorant to the fact that people cannot make decisions. So we're doing it for somebody, not to somebody. We're not doing it to somebody to make money. Obviously, the end goal is we want a profitable business. But if you serve people in the way that they need you to do, you'll get all of the things that you want. And if you make your marketing to be about for people, to help people make decisions, then you're going to win. So number two, most people cannot make a decision about anything. So the company that allocates the time to help them make that decision wins. Now, again, I see concrete proof all over the world of businesses who are their model will not allow them to survive in business for much longer. And it's a case of, well, we've always done it this way, so we're always going to continue to do it this way and hope to God, hope like crazy, that things change and it all comes back to be in our favor. Reality, that doesn't happen. Again, I think it's arrogant when businesses think that they are exempt from change or having to reinvent their model. I actually believe that if you're listening to this podcast in 5 years, it's 2017 right now. If you're listening to this podcast in 2022, my business model will have changed probably twice, at least. That fast. Before, it was probably change your business model every 5 to 10 years as a recession came or a correction in the marketplace came. Because again, everything that's happening to you is a result of, particularly if you're in network or it doesn't really matter. Just generally, things move around you, whether it's government change legislation, insurance companies want to make more profit, and the pressure that they put then down on the consumer or you or the regulations means that you had to change your business model. So it was probably every 7 to 10 years that a company had to reinvent themselves, and the ones who didn't died. That was it. And it wasn't because of a recession or there's no money around. It was just quite simply that they didn't face up to the opportunity, if you like, that was there to reinvent, because they were just too lazy or head was down and wanted things to be the way that they've always been. So I believe that you will have to start to reinvent your model probably every 2 to 3 years because of the nature and the fast-paced nature of society that we live in. The pressures, the media, the finance, not that there's a finance issue, but everybody's now hustling and justling, trying to make more money, trying to get more money, trying to cut costs and corners and all sorts of stuff that it's almost like a crack addiction for the powers that be to force change for the sake of change, because they think that that's what the public is crying for, and they are, because as a general rule in society, most people are not living the life that they want. They're not fulfilled. They haven't got the money that they want. The pressures, the uprising, if you like, means that the government think that they will appease those people if they force change. So this is going to keep happening. And the victory, if you like, will go to the people who reinvent their model appropriate for the times that we're living in. Now, today, as every physio company on earth wants to rush you in and rush you out, you know, picks up the phone, you pick up the phone to the clinic has your appointment booked within 45 seconds and thinks that you understand enough by the time you arrive tomorrow to pay the high fees that you are needing to today to make the living that you are trying to. That's why a lot of businesses are running into pushback, because they don't allocate the time to help people make a decision. And understanding that even if somebody has picked up the phone to call you, it doesn't mean that they're all in. 50% of people are doing it just out of absolute desperation. Now, that's not a great position to have a customer arrive at your clinic. So allocating the time, you know, in my world at the Paul Gough Physio Rooms, it's 15, 20, 25 minutes on the front end, even for a patient who tells us that they've heard about us, they've been given a referral by a friend, we will still allocate 15 to 20 minutes on the front end with that person. That is the reason I charge 150% more than my competition. I'm in a small, economically challenged town in the northeast of England called Hartlepool. You can Google it. And I charge a lot more than clinics in London, which is the equivalent of a small town in Kentucky charging more money than an upstate clinic, a big clinic in upstate Manhattan. That's the power of adapting your model and not paying any attention to the BS that goes on when people say, oh, you must do this, or we haven't got the time, or I can't get the staff to do that. It's okay. That's the effect. What's the cause? Is your model is out of date. Your model does not represent what people are looking for in society now. Your model doesn't represent what people, how they make decisions, how now the fact that your fees are over and above $100 all in, you know, whether you're in-network, cash, out-of-pocket, whatever. Most of the people are going to have to pay significantly three figures, three figures to do business with you. Nobody makes impulse decisions at that level. So again, that needs to be factored in. Giving the time to people to help them make decisions, the companies that do that will win. Conversely, and how can I say this? Like I said, I work with companies in however many different countries, and I've helped hundreds and hundreds of business owners. And the ones who I see struggle are the ones who will not allocate time, the ones who are classing their staff as expenses and cannot see them as assets that are capable of bringing more people to their business, knowing that people value time, the time that you get given, not sitting in some crappy reception area on some crappy school like chair to be left for 15 minutes to read an out-of-date magazine before you PT arrives up the corridor, who probably doesn't even have the decency to ask how your day's been, and takes you into the room and just says, tell me about your knee. That's the typical 9 out of 10 clinics. I've been in them all over the world, and it's not good. That's, you know, that's not time being allocated to a patient. Number three, nobody has a clue what we do, and this is the real conflict, a problem that marketing solves for your patients. I'll say that again. Nobody has a clue what we do, really and truly. And this is the real conflict that marketing solves. So again, it baffles me when the ignorant brigade tell you that marketing isn't appropriate for healthcare. It kind of, again, tells me that that person's completely lost up their own ass and has absolutely no empathy, understanding of who their actual customer is or the journey that these people go on. And for them, it's all about just get a referral, you know, get referrals from doctors and let everybody else do the hard work to make the decision for the patient. And we'll just, you know, step in at the end, get the glory and get the check and cash it and, you know, buy a few bottles of red wine. It's not good when you have people in the profession who think that way, because it's not the future of where the profession's headed, and it really doesn't do much to help people confidently make decisions on us. It starts with, if I was running in charge of any PT school worldwide, I'd spend the first year doing nothing other than teaching physios how to communicate the value of what we do. It would be, I don't care if you've come here to learn about sciatica, to you want to be a neuro physio, you want to work with kids, you want to work in intensive care, whatever. You are not going anywhere near a patient. You are not learning anything about the body. We will spend 365 days learning how to speak and communicate the value of what we actually do, so much so that people can actually understand and therefore take action upon it, because there is a big difference. There's different levels of communication, and some people can communicate and explain what we do. Fine. Then there is the real superstar, successful business owners who can communicate in such a way that people can actually confidently make a decision and take action upon the information that they've had. I've seen again and went to school with people who were pretty average communicators, but were very clever and would communicate with their patients in such a way that the exercises were right and correct and everything, that if the patient actually did what the physio said, the patient would get the outcome that they were looking for. But because the physio didn't communicate with that patient in a way that they were confidently able to take action on the information that they were given, the patient invariably didn't. Now, the physio can sit there and go, well, I did my job, or the physio can go, hang on, I need to change the way that I'm communicating here if I want to help more people. So number three, nobody has a clue what we do. And if you kind of go out into the world in your business and think that people are just going to come to your door because you've opened up a wonderful facility, even if it's in a high visibility location, and you've got your name above the door and slap physiotherapy clinic all over it, it doesn't make any difference. They really don't know what we do, and there certainly isn't enough people out there for you to build and grow and scale a successful business that works without you. Number four. Marketing is not just about getting more new patients, it's about ensuring that the right customers show up happy to pay higher fees. So I've seen this one a lot recently where I've got clients now who are very busy, they've got waiting lists, and they'll say, Paul, we don't need to market anymore because we have a waiting list, we have a 6-week waiting list. First of all, I tell them that it's a ridiculous situation to be in. A lot of physios think that they must be very good and very special because they have huge wait lists. It's business illiteracy. It's ridiculous to have that level of waiting list. Anything more than a week and you have a very inefficient business. It's the biggest sign that your prices are too low. It's the biggest sign that your prices are too low if you have a wait list and you need to start raising those rates fast. But for me, marketing is not just about getting more customers. It is much more important than that. It's about making sure that the right type of customer shows up happy to pay higher fees. Now, the difference between a good customer and a bad customer in my world is usually a couple of weeks. Again, I don't really buy into they don't see the value in what you do, or they're bad leads. It's ridiculous. Like, most of the people are very good. If they've got lower back pain and they live within a few mile radius of my clinic, that's a good lead. Like, bad leads are 90 mile away from my clinic and have got hip pain when I'm not very good at hip pain and I help people with back pain. Or somebody who lives 40 mile away who wants help with pelvic floor when I don't do pelvic floor. Like, that's a bad lead. A good lead is somebody with back pain who lives 5 miles from my clinic. Thereafter, what's bad is probably my skills of conversion and communication. Because if I'm not communicating with that person, or that person say no to my services, they've got back pain, I know how to fix it, and they live within a 5-mile radius of my clinic. Like, it's me, not them. So it's not just about getting more new patients. It's about using your marketing to ensure that the right customers show up happy to pay higher fees. So even if I did have a wait list, I'm still running my marketing because I'm influencing people before they arrive. It's too difficult to start to influence them when they get into the clinic themselves. You have to start to influence them at home 2, 3, 4 weeks before they even arrive at your practice, so that when they show up, they've made their own decision that you're the right provider to help them solve their problem. That's a big difference. And again, it's a fundamental shift when you think that way, that if I've got somebody who's made a decision to come and see me and they're happy and they're confident before they arrive, then when they hear my 150% higher fees than anywhere else, there's not going to be much pushback. So come on, all of this stuff, it's such logical, simple sense. But here's the problem. There is a big difference between common sense and common practice. And whenever anybody listens to my material or they talk to me face to face, Lois, everything you say sounds really simple. And I say, yeah, that's the simplicity is the genius. It's took me 10 or 12 years to figure out to be able to speak this simply to help people make decisions. And that's the same with patients. The simplicity is in its genius. With all of this stuff, when you each one on their own won't make that much difference, but when you put them together, the compound effect, Warren Buffett style, the compound effect is phenomenal over a period of weeks, months, and years. Number five, business is not about getting big for the sake of getting big. For an ego or vanity, everyone's like, yeah, I want a huge clinic and I want like 25 premises and blah, blah, blah. Good. But really, business is about staying as small as possible, but making a big profit. Sanity. So business growth is vanity. Profit is sanity. So again, I probably fell into that trap myself 4 or 5 years ago. I was like, yeah, I'm going to grow 15, 20 clinics around the country. And you know what? I probably will go back to revisit that in the next few years. But right now, I'm on a different journey with the business material and education and supporting people all over the world. And I will go back to buying out businesses in the UK and possibly the US. But my goal will be to make those clinics as small as possible, but as profitable as possible. So I now see less patients at my practice than I probably did 5 years ago, but ridiculously more profitable, way more profitable than I ever have been. And yet I see less patients. I spend more money on marketing because the marketing, like I said in number four, it's not just about getting more new patients. It's about ensuring that the right patients show up happy to pay my fees, cause and effect. So I'm putting out videos on Facebook, you know, and paying for them to be seen by ladies aged 50 and 60 because we're influencing them weeks and months before they even consider us as a viable option for their knee pain or their back pain, so that when they arrive, I've tracked them all the way on their journey. I've used the technology, the platforms, if you like, to support that patient on their journey, knowing full well that they will not make a decision from the first time they see one of my videos. And that's something of interest. I recently had a clash with a client who said he didn't like the concept of branded content and he wanted it to happen a little faster. And I said, well, you might want it to happen faster, but it's not going to happen faster. And I said, can I just ask you a question? In fact, I'm not even going to ask a question. I'm going to point something out. When you found me and you started to work with me 10 months ago, what was the thing that influenced you? He said, your videos. I said, oh, branded content. So it works on you and to you, but for whatever reason, you don't think it's going to work for you. So you've made a decision on me because you watched videos day after day after day on Facebook, and now I'm trying to teach you to put videos out on Facebook and pay for them to influence your customers. You just miraculously think that it's not going to work for you. Really? Again, like, there are enough problems in business, guys and girls. It's difficult enough without creating our own problems. Literally, just take a look at how you react, how you buy, how you think, how you make decisions. Step out of yourself for a few moments and apply it to your own business. And it's pretty easy. So business for me now is not about getting big for big sake. It's about making as much profit as possible while staying small. And that's sanity. Number six, staff are assets and they are more important to you than your customers will ever be. The notion that the customer is king, ridiculous. Whoever introduced that to consumerism was pandering basically to a pocket of people who think that sounds wonderful and great. Customers have no clue what they want ever. They very rarely know what they want, and they're just desperate for somebody to help them. So they absolutely are not king. And they are definitely not more important than your staff. Your staff are assets. The biggest problem that business owners have is that because their staff wages appears on the expenses of the P&L or the income statement, or they appear on the cost of goods and services, they immediately think, their belief pattern is that they're an expense that they can do without, or if only they could get rid of a couple of members of staff, they would be more profitable. Rarely is that the case. More often than not, it's actually add staff to the balance, to the P&L, which are assets, and use them to drive revenue into your business, whether it's to help you with more marketing, whether it's to find more time that you can give to patients so that they show up, to make sure they get their reminders, to make sure they get a courtesy phone call after each session, to make sure that they get a postcard every few months or a thank you card or a gift card. All of this stuff called intangible, the intangible stuff that makes the difference. Apple is built on intangibles. And you know, if you read into Steve Jobs' philosophy in the 90s and 2000s, he basically used to fight with the shareholders regularly because his whole concept was the intangibles, and the shareholders were like, well, we need concrete proof that this will work. He was like, well, this is what human beings have valued for years and years and years. Like, what more proof do you want than what, you know, what people have done for however many thousands of years before us? So staff are assets, and they are the most important people in your business and way more important than your customers. And if there's ever an issue going on in that business of mine downstairs in the physio rooms, I will always come down on the side of the staff, always. And my staff know that, and the confidence and the flair that they live with as a result of that means that our customer service can be even better, and we can have more fun, we can take more risks, we can do more things with patients, we can put our feet up on the couch and have a cup of coffee with them, etc., because the staff know that I'll always come down in their favor. And if my staff, you know, tell a few jokes or have some fun, and randomly once every 2 years a patient doesn't like the joke or doesn't get the joke, I don't care. Like, they're in the wrong place. Get the customer out, send them somewhere else, because they're not who we want in our business. It's not a case of just accept anybody and everybody. It's limit the number of people, make it as difficult as possible for them to get into our world. But when they do, they become unbelievably good customers, advocates. They tell people about us, and like attracts like. Beds of a feather flock together. So staff are your assets, and they are more important than customers. Number seven, I love this one. The most costly four words in business. My business is different. The most costly four words in business. My business is different. So number seven is anyone who thinks that their business is different is likely to be costing themselves a fortune and working way harder to prolong the agony that they are living with than they should be. It's I hear it everywhere where it doesn't matter. If I speak to a business owner in New Mexico, America, oh, it's different around here. Then I go on a call with somebody in Toronto. Oh, it's different in Toronto. Then I go on a call with somebody in Melbourne. Oh, it's different in Melbourne. Then I speak to somebody in London. Oh, but London's different. Then I speak to somebody in Yorkshire. Oh, but Yorkshire's different. It's like, come on. It isn't. Sure, the nuances are different, but business is about solving problems. And unless your business doesn't do that, in which case, if your business doesn't solve problems, you won't be in business for very long. Okay? So we need to stop that mentality. Business is not different in any way, shape, or form. It is not subject to any different rules. You need a strong marketing team, you need a strong sales team, you need strong customer service, and you need to be red hot at knowing your numbers. That's business. You need to know what problem you solve and who has that particular problem, what their internal conflicts are, and you need to deploy empathy and give people time to make decisions. And that's pretty much it. If you look at your business as being a cash business, you've labeled yourself. The moment you label yourself, you're limited. If you label yourself as an in-network provider, and that means we can't do direct marketing and we have to, you know, kiss doctors' asses for the rest of our lives, you will limit the opportunity. If you see yourself as being in a big city and that means you're completely different, New York, yeah, sure, there'll be certain things. I'm not running newspaper ads in Manhattan. But my marketing message is not changing. How I talk to consumers is not changing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are no differences in business. I hope, and I'm pretty sure of the thousands of people who listen to this podcast, there will be people who are not PTs who listen to this podcast because it's just simple business sense. And I often bring into my mastermind programs people who are non-PTs on purpose. And at the end of every time that I do, you know, we just had an event in Chicago and I brought in two very successful business owners from outside of the PT profession. And at the end of the day, people will often come up to me and say, well, he just talks just like you, or, you know, he just says what you said. I'm like, yeah, it's like business is business. It doesn't really matter what business you're in. You're in the business of solving problems. And when you start there, it's much easier to help people and to solve problems for these people rather than obsessing over who you are or what your business is or the challenges that you've got or buddying up with like 10 other cash businesses who've all got the same trouble and strife and you all convincing each other that life is tough. Like, it isn't. It's like what I said on a recent podcast. You've got to get around people who think differently, who see things differently, who do not limit themselves, don't label themselves, who run a business. And if your business cannot, from what you're learning about business, you should be able to adapt those same principles to a law firm, to a car garage, to a clothes shop, to a pet store. It does not matter. And that's the style of teaching that I try to bring to you, that business is business. It's not just, you know, we're not talking PT all day. We're talking about people and solving problems for people's lives. And basic business literacy can be transferred between businesses. It's at that point now where, certainly for me, as I speak to other business owners, I'm always thinking, well, this is how you'd solve that problem, or that problem could be solved like this. And if I did have a conversation with a lawyer, right, and I never ever get involved, I've got friends who run businesses. And it's ironic because in my friendship circles here in Britain, I really don't get involved in speaking business outside of what I do on a day-to-day basis. It's just not worth my time and effort and energy because they are so resistant to hearing my opinions or thoughts or strategies because they think that I'm a physio. And it's the lawyer has a problem, and even though I could solve the lawyer's business problem, he wouldn't take my business knowledge seriously because the first thing he would be thinking is, what does he know about running a law firm? Or what does he know about running a car garage? Or what does he know about running a sport shop? I don't know if you've noticed, but again, the customer that goes to the law firm, he has a bad back. The customer that goes to the sports store has a bad back. The customer that buys the will advice potentially sprains his ankle on the way there. And he doesn't become somebody else in between. So my customers are their customers. And ultimately, like I keep saying, if you obsess over who the customer is and what their problems are and how they make decisions and work back from their business is very simple. But for most businesses, it's, I'm going to run this cash-based business. This is how it has to be. And everybody has to fit into this tiny little box. And I'm only looking for these types of perfect customers who see the value in PT. It's like, well, that's not going to get you very far. It's your job to help them see the value of PT and start from understanding what their real problem is, which is back to number one, two, and three. They haven't got a clue what we do, cannot make decisions, and marketing is something that you do for people. So number eight, here we go. Insurance companies will absolutely screw you over anytime their shareholders say so, and if you depend upon them for your revenue, you should be doing nothing but working out how to limit your dependency upon them. Again, hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses today are completely at the mercy of an insurance company who, if their shareholders want more profit, they will find a way to make more profit. And it won't be from doing any more work. It will be from cutting your fees by 10% or 15%. It happens year upon year, and it will never, ever change. On the macro level, insurance companies, the moment that they want more profit, they're not going to employ more staff. They're not going to do more marketing. They're going to cut the fees of the people who work under them or for them. Happened to me a few years ago, and it was the final straw when I came into an email that said, we're dropping your rates by like 50%. It'll take effect from next week. I'm like, what the hell? And how can I run a business like this? Depending upon other people. So my message to you is this. If you are relying upon an insurance company, you're relying upon one doctor, you should be doing nothing but obsessing over how can you make your business less dependent upon an insurance company or a doctor and more on you and the things that you can control. Even if right now you want 100% insurance or 95% insurance, here's the question to ask yourself. What do we have to do to get our business in the next 12 months to 80-20, where 20% of the people who come to us pay cash for twice, three times the price that we get for insurance company, and start to work out in your business what difference that would make? If you could get 20% of your patients to pay in cash at twice the price that you get reimbursed off the insurance companies, watch what that would do for your cash flow. Watch what that would do for your ability to spend more on marketing to bring more people through the front door, and watch what that would do to your profit at the end of the month. Again, it's a subtle shift in the way that you think. I respect if you are all in insurance. What I don't respect and wouldn't respect in a few years when the shit hits the fan and companies are not making the profit and they've had 2, 3, 4, 5 years to figure this out now when they have to close their doors because of insurance companies. It wasn't because of insurance companies. It was because the business owner didn't face up to A, the reality, but B, the opportunity that's there for them to go out there and use things like Facebook and Google and newspapers. Thousands of companies now are doing it, and your company is not that special, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, that it's not going to work for you. So protecting yourself, even just by adding 20% to your bottom line, if the insurance companies do come in and take a 10% cut across the board, you're still going to be profitable. But more importantly, you've acquired the tools and the skills and the know-how how to go out and find your own patients who will pay cash. And when that day arrives, which it will surely for most businesses, you will be in a better position, a stronger position than anybody else, because you will have the skill sets needed to go out and make sure that you can continue to trade. That is a huge thing. And I love it when patients contact me. I have a program. It's called my implementation program. Sorry, when clients contact me, they say, Paul, we're really struggling. We need to get clients in by the end of the month. I say, I'm not your guy. I couldn't do it for myself, and I can't do it for you. If you need a turnaround that quick, you should have done this 2 years ago. There is nothing that I can do within a month. Sure, I can get you a little spike. I might be able to get you one or two more patients. But I know if you've run your business like that, almost into the ground, to the point where you're begging me to switch on ads and get stuff firing, it's very easy for me to pander to you and give you the gratification and say, yeah, I'll figure your problems out. But the reality is, it will never happen. If you want to work with me, it's 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months to make a difference, because that's the truth of the situation. So my ideal client in my implementation program, where my team do all of the marketing for clinics, comes to us and say, Paul, we're doing all right, we're doing okay, but we want to move on. We realize that we're looking down the stream, and we can see that there's a few changes arising. We want to be ready for them. There's a few big hospital systems moving into town, buying up our referral sources. The change hasn't really hit us yet, but we know it's coming. Can we start to work with you now, get going with our direct marketing, build in an insurance policy if you like, and start to bring in some of our own referrals? I say, I'm your guy. I am your guy. Like, we will get on great. We've got time. We've got a sensible business owner, somebody who's trying to protect his assets, somebody who sees into the future, understands that he has to change his model, and does so before the crap hits the fan. That's the type of clinic that will constantly or will always be all right no matter what goes on, because it's a shift in the way that the business owner sees and thinks. So number nine, referrals from doctors are not the Holy Grail. In fact, I'd wager I would rather not have referrals from doctors, because far from being the solution to the problem, they are part of the problem because they show up completely uneducated about what we do. And as costs rise, that is going to be even more of an issue for most people listening to this podcast. Say it again, referrals are not the Holy Grail. Referrals from doctors are not the Holy Grail. In fact, I would rather not have referrals from doctors, because far from being the solution, they are part of the problem, because the patients who come from doctors show up completely uneducated about what we do. And as costs rise, this is the bit to understand, as costs rise, that uneducated patient showing up at your door, having been given a referral from a doctor, is going to be an issue. I do not want people who did not make the decision to come to my clinic as costs rise. If it was completely free, give me them all day. But as costs rise, I keep saying it and listen to that again. I do not want people showing up at my door because somebody else told them to. I want people showing up at my door who made the decision to come and see me. And this, as you listen back to this in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I predict will be the problem that clinics will run into is not a lack of patients. It will be massive resistance from patients who will not pay out of pocket at the fees that they're going to have to pay because they do not understand what we do. Back to point one, two, three, and four that I'm bringing up on this podcast today. So again, it gives rise to, if you're chasing doctors after doctor after doctor, fine, you're probably getting some gratification today. But further down the line, not far up the stream, you are going to hit a brick wall as costs rise. That is my precursor to all of this and the problems that I foresee coming down the stream for a lot of business owners. It will not be a lack of patients. It will be a lack of patients who actually want to pay, who actually see the value in the $90, $100 co-pays, having to break into a $5,000 deductible in January and February. They just won't do. There will be too many other options, cheaper options, personal trainers, massage, all sorts of stuff that these people will try first, and as a result will delay having to actually face up to going to PT in the first place. But it will be our fault, because we will have allowed and been relied, we will have relied 100% on doctors, that as that whole thing plays out in the next year or two or a couple of years, clinics will be in trouble. Number 10, my final one, most businesses are constantly looking for more patients when what they should be doing is asking, how can I see less patients but make more profit? So look, marketing, I'm huge for. It's the best skill I ever learned, the best skill. But what I switched my tact, if you like, from just relentlessly pursuing more patients, it was look for patients, less of them, higher quality. So the question that I need you to start to ask yourself, how can I see less patients but make more profit? Okay, which one do you want, patients or profit? Now, absolutely, you need the two. You know, you need the patients to make the profit. Where I'm trying to get this message across to you is that even if you've got two or three patients today, the focus switches to profit, which is raising rates, get them to show up for longer, upsells, cash pay, wellness, bringing in material that people can buy from you from your offers, bundling things up, etc., and starting to make more profits. My Double Your Profits Per Patient program, which is on the website, the PT Profit Academy website, is dedicated to this. It's a very low-cost investment in a program that I put together that helps businesses focus on profit. So even if you have two or three patients, looking at how do you double your profit per patient, that's the title of the program, is the way to look to make more of the stuff that you want, which is profit. So while you get good at marketing, which is a skill, you know, in my accelerator program, I don't promise that it will change your business overnight. I say it's a 12-month investment in learning how to create a marketing system that will take effect month on month, compound effect style. But while you're learning that skill and you're constantly investing in that marketing, because marketing's about relationships and relationships don't happen overnight. Sure, you might get an interaction that happens, but the relationship is built and forged over a period of time. So marketing can take a little time, which is why I always say start getting good at it now, today. Like, do not wait, because whatever the 6 month lag is, in 6 months is probably when you'll need the actual effect of being good at marketing, which is the patients. If you start the training in 6 months, then it'll be another 6 to 12 months before you actually see the results. So marketing is an investment in learning how to do it. It's a lifelong investment. Still to this day, I'm heavily invested with business coaches and mentors teaching me more and more about the intricacies of marketing and sales. But while I'm learning that, I'm looking at what else can I focus on to bring in more profit. And that's a big significant difference in the way that you see business. Again, you know, the gratification comes from in, we got more calls, that's the vanity, but the sanity is in, I made more this month, my expenses were down, and I'm more profitable for doing less. I'm a huge fan, I'm a workaholic, and I work like crazy when I have to. I have no problem jetting off all over the world to speak, to run businesses, to look at businesses, to help businesses, but if I don't need to, I won't. It's not an addiction, because it's about profit. It's about profit in my businesses. And if I can do absolutely as little as possible and make the profit goals that I set for myself, believe me, I'll find a way on how to do it. Now, don't confuse that with me being lazy. That's me being sensible, clearly setting goals and figuring out what I want and then what's the minimum that I can do to hit that goal. Because there is no rewards for staying at work for an extra 3 hours and missing out on evenings with my gorgeous children just for ego's sake because of the hustle, which I think is ridiculous. This whole concept of the hustle, the hustle, the hustle, the hustle. Like, watch how you can go hustle all you want, but nothing beats having a plan, deliberate focus, and persistence. Those are the three hashtags in my life: persistence, focus, and a plan. People who are hustling are probably working twice as much as they need to because they don't have focus, they don't have a plan, and they're not persistent. So there we go. That's my 10 absolute truths of PT business success. Please leave me a review. And like I said, these are not just things that I've made up. This is now from, you know, over a decade of running three businesses. I've got a business in America. I've got two businesses in the UK. I've had businesses in well over 12, 13, 14 countries, I think, 15 probably, thousands of customers, generated millions of dollars in revenue for businesses. And these are the things that I see right now that are the absolute truth. So if you accept them and you move forward with them in your business and you truly understand what each one means and the implications, it's going to make it much more likely you will be stacking the deck in your favor of being successful in business. So let me know what you think. Leave me a review on iTunes. Obviously, be sure to subscribe to us. Head over to paulgough.com if you want to subscribe there to SoundCloud. I would love you to leave me a review, and more than anything, it helps other people make a decision. I am acutely aware that there are hundreds of podcasts popping up everywhere, and there is nothing worse than, you know, wasting even 20 minutes or half an hour listening to a podcast that doesn't help you or doesn't solve the problems that you've got in your life. So by leaving me a review, really what I'm asking you to do is leave it for somebody else to help them make a decision, you know, episode by episode. Was this worth listening to? What problem did it solve? And how did it help you? Don't just say that it was good. Don't just say that it's great. Tell me what problems it's solving for you, how it's helping you as a business owner, and why somebody else, if they've got that problem, should listen to it. That's how we will grow the right community of people who are following and listening, and I'll be able to take your questions and your reviews and the things that you say and share better content for this wonderful community that I'm growing with your help. So that's it. Again, don't forget, get on my email list, paulgough.com. Head over there, join my email list, reply to the email that you'll get from me. You'll get an email instantly. Just reply to it and tell me who you are. Honestly, it'll make my day if you do that for me, if you're not on my email list right now. Leave me a review. And once again, thanks to our sponsors, Infusionsoft, paulgough.com/Infusionsoft, if you want to take the training to learn the 7 key systems that I use to grow my businesses. That's it for now. I will be back again soon with another episode of the Physical Therapy Business School Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Physical Therapy Business School Podcast. If you want to advance your business education even faster, then simply head over to paulgough.com, where there are instant access PDF reports and online trainings that you can have from us for free. You can take our free report, The 7 Things That PT School Forgot to Teach You About Becoming a Successful Business Owner, and the online tutorial, How to Generate 20 New Patients in the Next 30 Days Without a Single Referral from a Doctor. Both of these free trainings will give you more guidance, clarity, and the essential skills to help you grow a more successful physical therapy business, starting today. Find out the critical things that Paul's learned from growing his very own private physical therapy business and from helping other business owners from all across America, in Britain, Canada, and Australia. As valued listeners, we want to give you this training for free. All you have to do is head over to paulgough.com, that's paulgough.com, to collect them. We'll see you again next week for another episode of Paul Gough's Physical Therapy Business School podcast. And until then, have a fabulous week.